Aziza studied her breathlessly. Her hair was so black it seemed tinged with blue beneath the fluorescent warehouse lights. It tangled a little wildly, like strands of twisted silk rope flying around her as she executed one spin and then another. Her face brought to mind the word elf or pixie, more otherworldly than youthful, with a delicate chin, sharp cheekbones, lips that were almost overly lush, and exotically tilted, thickly lashed eyes. "She cannot be just his roommate," Aziza muttered under her breath, but West, who'd obviously moved closer, heard her.
"You're right," he replied softly. "Chai is more than that. I suppose if what Ram says is true, I'm her Gregory Prophet."
Aziza managed to tear her attention away from the hypnotic performance to stare at him. He shrugged.
"I'm a writer. I listen. And Ram likes to talk. I also know that he won't ask you, but I think you should come to Underbridge tonight. Bring your West, and I'll bring my Aziza Jane. We can compare notes."
That sounded promising in more ways than one. It would give her the opportunity to seek out the truth, maybe discover the reason one human fetish club had become the focal point of the Janeer attacks. It had nothing to do with the woman dangling above, the one she was so drawn to, or the handsome man smiling into her eyes. It had nothing to do with Ram, or her need to strike out on her own without the Alpha's permission, without Brandon, to do something everyone seemed to want her not to do. We wouldn't miss it for the world. After she'd changed, she met Ram outside and he hailed a taxi. He got in beside her and gave the driver the address while Aziza studied him. "So why did you want me to press the mind your own business button?" At his charade-like, silent request, she'd invoked Mayette's veil while they were still standing on the curb, tinting the glass between worlds so they couldn't be observed by Jin or Nier. He snorted as he took her hand. "Because now I can relax for the first time in weeks. You have no idea what it feels like to know someone could be watching you at any time, studying you like a goldfish in a bowl." Aziza gave him an arch look.
"Excuse me? I know exactly what it feels like, Mr. Watch Me Shower."
His smile was wistful.
"How could I look away?" he murmured,
reminding her of the day they'd first met. He let go of her hand and patted her on the thigh.
"So, tell me about your murders. Sounds like a bloodbath. Give me all the gory details."
The cab jerked as if the driver had accidentally slammed his foot on the brakes, and one glance told Aziza she wasn't off the mark. He was watching them in his rear-view mirror suspiciously. They couldn't talk about this here. She had to think of something to distract the man before he dropped them off with the nearest police officer.
"For the story I'm writing in the next edition of your magazine? You want to know what the angle is?"
She stared meaningfully at Ram, her eyes shifting back to the driver until he caught on.
"Yes, of course for the story. What else would I be talking about?" he asked gruffly, laughter in his bright green eyes. "I am paying you for facts, Lois Lane, not gossip."
"Lois Lane? My price is about to go up," she sniffed, enjoying the act.
"A story like this isn't cheap, you know, and it definitely wasn't easy to get my informant to talk."
Ram's hand returned to her leg and lingered, caressing her thigh where the hem of her skirt ended. She'd worn it in an oversized, off-the-shoulder t-shirt to the hangar this morning, because it had been the first thing in her closet. Now she was wishing she'd worn something that offered a bit more protection from his roaming hands.
"You love it." "Nothing about you is cheap or easy, my dear, but I know what you're offering is worth it."
His fingers slipped under the fabric, gliding swiftly between her thighs until they touched her black lace underwear.
"I'm sure finding someone so deep inside took more than one long, hard night of work on your part."
Oh, God, what was he doing? Playing out one of her fantasies. Being touched like this in a taxi on a busy street in broad daylight without getting to take the easy Mayette way out. She inhaled sharply, shifted and pressed at her thighs together, squeezing his fingers painfully in punishment. Think of Brandon, She was with him, despite their fight, despite her need for space. He wouldn't appreciate her behavior.
My informant is the best at what he does. I'm completely satisfied with his work.
Her voice was higher than it should have been, more forceful as she reached for his wrist and pulled his hand away from her skin.
Maybe we should go into the details later.
Ram moved closer, trapping her firmly between his body and the cab's door. He pressed his lips against her ear, speaking loud enough for the now less paranoid but still incredibly interested driver to hear. Are you sure you won't give me a taste of what's coming? What you're going to give me? In your story, I mean. A small bit of something I can sink my teeth into. He bit her earlobe gently. I apologize, but my curiosity is making it hard for me to control myself. Name your price.
That'll be £15 even, sir.
The driver's voice was actually blushing. He was scandalized. But it was better than his being suspicious. Aziza bit her lip to keep from laughing and ruining the act, or moaning and begging Ram to stop. Fuck. She opened her purse and paid the fare before slipping out of the taxi to stand in front of her aunt's building with a sigh of relief. And regret. No, only relief, she assured herself adamantly, watching Ram unfold from the vehicle, a broad grin on his beautiful face.
Oh, shut up!
What? He asked innocently. You started it. I was all ready to talk about serial-killing Janir when you went into your Girl Friday routine. I was trying to give him a good show.
First Lois Lane, and now Girl Friday, she muttered. I'm getting the feeling I've been racked with guilt about you for no reason. You've been popping popcorn and kicking back watching old movies with Wes and his pretty roommate, haven't you?
You saw her. She is a stunner, that one. Reminds me of my younger sister, and a little of you without the fatalism.
He had a younger sister? She'd never thought about him having a family. People other than Chev. People he wasn't allowed to see until his punishment was over. Ram shrugged.
And yes, I've watched your movies. It makes me feel like Jin again, only I'm peeping on pre-recorded actors instead of the real thing. I have to do something to occupy my time while you're screwing the oomph! The enforcer.
He finished with a groan, gripping his stomach where she'd punched him.
No more canine humor. I've got it.
He was acting like nothing had ever happened. Like he hadn't been an ass, and then irresistible, and then an ass again. She was feeling a definite case of emotional whiplash.
You need to pick an emotion, Ram. You've been so
angry and unavailable, he offered. That wasn't an act, Aziza. I've been a snake and I know it. This isn't easy to adjust to, being stuck here and not getting what I wanted.
Her. It was left unspoken, but she knew.
There are too many limitations. But for the last week or so, I've been getting tired of the crush of all that bitterness. And then this started happening. Underbridge is a small community, so I've heard of the losses. I knew the two women. I want to help.
He had heard. He knew them.
Of course he did.
He was right about kink communities. They were just that, communities. Like-minded people who spent time together and shared more than their predilections for play. Brandon would add that to Ram's guilty column. More ammunition to take in her gin.
3 now, she told him.
Ram's eyes widened.
3!
He looked around and lowered his voice.
Who?
We're out of the cab, she said, and my mind-your-own-business button is still pushed, so I think we should talk.
Now? On the sidewalk?
There are things you need to know. Aziza quickly and quietly laid out the events of the night before as people walked by. Oblivious. She told him everything. Finding the girl, though she had no idea who she was. What she'd said. The other murders. Even the fact that she was getting glimpses into the Nier and Jin worlds. She wasn't sure why it all came out to him when she hadn't been able to tell Brandon. Maybe because she knew he had no one to report back to. and no room to judge her. Because he was Ram. Ram's expression was thoughtful. "You know I would rather flay myself alive and serve my organs to my enemies than admit this. But Brandon has a point. The blood draining, the designs carved into the bodies, that's more Jin than Nir. Even Razia let Harash do the dirty work while he directed from a distance. In fact, it sounds like, what would you call it in English? Soul casting. Something that was forbidden ages ago." He frowned. "I wish I'd been able to see one of the bodies. I might recognize one or two of the symbols. But if the enforcers follow their usual procedures, all the remains will have been cremated, and their human detectives will have handed over any detailed pictures. No traces left for curious human eyes." She grabbed his arm and pulled him into the building, waiting until they were alone in the lift to speak. "What is soul casting?"
"It was a kind of a ritual, a spell that required sacrifice and blood. The priests of Quaff and our current leaders don't like to talk about it, but there was a time when we lived through something similar to your Dark Ages. We didn't have the balance we do now between war and peace, art and ignorance, mysticism and the sciences."
Ram noticed her stunned expression and smirked smugly.
"Reports of my inattentiveness have been greatly exaggerated. Chev was an overachiever, yes, she was..."
He stopped smiling. "Well, she was what she was." That was the first time he'd mentioned her name since they'd left the Stewart's country manor. The first time he'd really talked to Aziza in what felt like forever. A part of her wanted to stop the lift, stop time and keep him talking. She knew she'd missed him, but she hadn't realized how much. She wished it hadn't taken murder to get him communicating again. "So there is some kind of purpose to the killings, a goal other than anarchy. What would Razia or any Janir hope to gain by performing that kind of ritual?"
Ram shook his head again. "I don't know, but I do know they're not getting what they want."
Dread tightened her throat. "Why do you say that?"
"The ritual was so powerful it was only done once a decade. Maybe twice. 3 bodies in as many weeks has to mean they aren't sure what they're doing. Which makes sense, since all we have seen now are stories. Artwork that depicts the ritual. They haven't gotten it right yet, but they're obviously practicing until they perfect the recipe."
The lift had stopped, and Ram was holding open the door as he spoke. But Aziza was having a hard time moving her feet. They were practicing on innocent women. What the hell were the twisted bastards planning, and what did it have to do with her? Ram frowned.
"Aziza, are you okay? I would help you more, but I don't have access to the information. I can't even ask around, since any djinn who sees my cuff knows to ignore me."
She stepped out of the lift and looked at him suspiciously. "Won't you get in trouble for telling me all this?"
"You are concealed, and I'm an exile. As long as I don't commit an unforgivable act, I'll eventually be pardoned. Until then, I'm not bound by the laws of Karen or Warrior."
He wrapped his arms around her shoulder and kissed her temple.
"Besides, I'm your hero, remember? And if I've watched enough movies to learn anything, it's that this is what heroes do."
She'd forgotten how dangerous the charming Ram could be to her equilibrium. "Are you coming in?" He shook his head.
"With you and your boyfriend fighting, and the enforcers outside guarding the flat? He'd be here before I could sit down. It isn't a good idea for any of us at the moment."
He had a point. "Ram, you said you knew the first 2 victims. How well?"
His lashes lowered, and a muscle twitched at his jaw.
"I played them. Fuck."
"Recently?" He shoved his hands in his pockets and stepped away from her.
"They both asked for me days before they disappeared."
"Damn it, Ram." That was information the enforcers obviously didn't have. If they did, he would already have been in their custody. "Do you have any idea why the Janir are trying to set you up?" His eyes blazed as he studied her.
"Just like that, precious Aziza. No doubts. No worries, my darker, demonic djinn side got the best of me, and I joined the Janir out of spite.
She leaned against the door.
You are many things. A lover of shortcuts, impatient, demanding, a sexual deviant. But you didn't kill those girls. I know it. We have to find out who did before the werewolves decide you're the most convenient suspect.
We? Are you asking for more of my help?
She shook her head. You're asking for mine. Greg and I will see you tonight.
Tonight?
She sent him a smile that darkened his emerald eyes.
West invited us to Underbridge. Since he's been such a good friend to you, I couldn't turn him down. And now, you've invited me to play.
Ram lifted one eyebrow. Did you accept? Did we negotiate terms?
Aziza bit her lip.
What was it you said in the garden? No limits, no rules, but let's make it something public. Make sure everyone can see.
His smile was wicked. It pains me more than you know to point out that the Janir would never come after you, Fireborn. They want you alive.
Maybe. If this blood ritual has anything to do with the reason they want me, then as soon as they get it right, they'll be after me anyway. But even if it doesn't, I know the dynamics of a club like this. Up until now, I've just been watching. A member, but still an outsider. The other women will confide in me, trust me, if they see that I'm one of them.
Ram chuckled.
Clever. I'm assuming you want me to top you, and not the other way around. That is what I'm known for there.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Are you sure you're ready for my brand of play, Aziza?
He moved closer, his voice lowering.
This won't be light-hearted make-believe or a simple spanking. Not if we're doing this right. If we're putting on a show. The other girls were used to harder play, asked for. But you haven't experienced as much as they had. Are you willing?
Yes.
He shook his head. We should practice. Say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And as much as I love it, his smile was sensuality and sin. If I'm going to maintain my infamous control, you are not allowed to wear your schoolgirl outfit. Wear something restrained for you. I'll put everything else together.
I can do that.
What was that?
Aziza inhaled. I mean, yes, sir.
He backed away with a grin, heading back to the lift.
I love how that sounds. The game is afoot, Ms. Lane.
Way too much cable television.
She laughed breathlessly as she unlocked her door. And you should know it's sacrilege to confuse Superman with Sherlock. The detective doesn't wear tights.
She refused to think about why she was smiling. Why she was breathless with anticipation, her body heating with an arousal she didn't want to examine too closely. Ram was going to play her tonight.
Chapter 4. Aziza was in the shower, getting ready for her night at the club and still thinking about him. Ram was back to being his wickedly irresistible self, and right now thinking about him was better than thinking about what she'd received in the mail today. What was even now waiting on the bed for her to open? She'd thought she would be, but she wasn't ready to deal with it yet. She would rather think about anything else. She would rather think about Ram. Their confrontation at the hangar, the ride home, their plans for tonight. She was still with Brandon. She'd chosen to be with Brandon, and Ram was the exiled Karen who'd ignored her the last time she went to Underbridge to see him. Instead of talking to her, he'd played a scene on stage where he granted wishes with paddles and a cat-o'-nine-tails to multiple women as she watched. Was that the kind of play he was talking about? Whips? Aziza shivered and pressed her thighs together. She'd thought then that watching him was her penance, her own personal torture. And Ram had taken the opportunity to show her what she was missing, to remind her that she had her own needs that weren't being satisfied. But they were. She was satisfied. Okay, so maybe she hadn't arranged a scene since she'd been with Brandon until tonight. And maybe she hadn't dressed in her favorite schoolgirl outfit, the one that, when combined with her youthful Stuart appearance, had driven her past play partners wild. The one Ram had forbidden her from wearing for their scene. She'd missed the adrenaline of playing at a club, but that was all. Brandon was more than willing to fulfill her needs at home, dominant enough to drive her wild with desire for him. She might be mad at him, but she wasn't lacking in that department. She didn't need anything else. Anyone else. You don't want to need more, but you do. You also need answers. Fuck. She was crazy to do this. She could have chosen someone else. A human. A woman. Someone that Brandon wouldn't kill if he found out they'd touched her. But Ram was as much a link between the victims as Underbridge was. He had to be the one who played her. Ram will give you what you really need. He knows you. Knows a fireborn craves experience. He would share you. She closed her eyes and shook her head. She was going to find answers and stop the Janeer. It had nothing to do with Ram. Nothing to do with sex. Liar. She didn't need her abilities to know that he wouldn't hold back tonight. That he would punish her for making him wait. He'd told her as much. And the ways he could punish her were suddenly all she could think about. How he would make her pay for putting him off. For pretending that nothing had happened between them. For choosing someone else over him. He would share her if she wanted him to. The fantasy began to form in her mind before she could stop it, and she slid her hand down her wet stomach and between her thighs in search of relief. In her mind, she was on the main stage at Underbridge, and the dance floor was crowded with people watching with hushed anticipation. A single desk from the classroom, one of the playrooms at the club, shone in the spotlight. Ram stood beside it, waiting for her. He was in charge here. He made the rules. He crooked a finger at her and then pointed to the floor in front of the desk. Aziza didn't hesitate to obey. She knew what was coming. Even when he turned her to face the desk without a word and pressed his palm against her back until she was forced to bend over, she knew, and she wanted it.
"You've been a bad girl, Aziza," Ram intoned. "Bad enough to wear this outfit when I told you not to. Bad enough that I've kept you after class to teach you a different kind of lesson."
Aziza trembled. "What kind of lesson?" She could hear the smile in Ram's voice.
"You'll see. Now, lift up your skirt for me."
When she did, he gave an exaggerated gasp of surprise from behind her.
"No panties, Miss Stuart. You are begging to be punished, aren't you? This lesson might take longer than I thought."
"I didn't know."
"Didn't know you'd be caught?"
He placed both hands on her ass, his touch so light she could barely feel it.
"Didn't know I'd see what you've done?"
She nodded. Her hair spread across the desk, hiding her heated face from view, and Ram chuckled.
"Little liar, you can't keep secrets from me, sweet Aziza. I always know. I've seen the way you look at me in class, the way you tighten your legs and squirm in your seat when I lean over your shoulder to check your work. You may be dating that dog of a linebacker, but he obviously hasn't given you what you really need. He can't teach you the way I can. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me you didn't silently wish I would keep you after school. Tell me you aren't a bad girl."
She couldn't. She could hardly speak as the arousal spiked in her body, allowing only a whimper to escape. It was all the answer he needed. His grip firmed in approval, and he pinched both her cheeks so hard she shouted in surprise.
"Good," he murmured. "Now, do I have your full attention, Miss Stuart?"
Yes.
Oh, fuck yes.
Aziza's fingers were instantly coated with her own arousal as she caressed the lips of her sex while the shower beat down on her. She had to let the fantasy continue. She wanted it too much to stop. She saw her professor grab his ruler, the same one he often snapped against his palm when he was speaking in class, making her shiver, making her wonder how it would feel on her skin. She found out. The flat of it landed with force on one bare cheek, then the other, again and again, deliciously hard. It stung her cheeks, sending warmth out to every part of her body, sending a rush of wet heat between her legs. She knew it would be like this. Aziza lifted her hips higher, hoping for more. "Bad girl," Ram rasped. "So greedy for it, aren't you? Does your boyfriend pretend he knows what you like? Does he spank you just enough to get you ready for his cock? Does he know how you dream of being filled front and back at the same time? How greedy you are?" She tried to answer, but he swore from behind her. "Don't tell me. You're with me now, and I don't care. Spread your legs, Miss Stewart. Yes, like that. Now ask for it. Ask for more, nicely. Say please." She wanted to resist him. Wanted not to be so turned on. He wasn't hers. She had a boyfriend. A good boyfriend. But she wasn't a good girl.
"Please. Sir, I need more. I've been bad, and I deserve more."
"Yes, you do, Aziza. And I'm the only one who can give it to you."
Ram tugged her back to a standing position, taking a seat on the desk in front of her.
What are you doing?
Wasn't he going to spank her again? Why had he stopped? Another voice, identical to Ram's, spoke up from behind her.
"Giving you what only I can, Miss Stewart."
Two of him? There were two of him? His djinn abilities must be back. The Ram on the desk had unzipped his pants and wrapped his fist around his bare, flushed erection, gripping it tightly.
"Now, I want you to suck my cock while I spank you."
The crowd gasped, reminding her of their presence, and the Ram standing behind her laughed with delight.
"Consider it a lesson in djinn physics, Aziza. Bend over, lift up that tease of a skirt again, and show these people what a talented mouth you have. How badly you want to be disciplined. Do a good job, Miss Stewart. Impress me. This will be on the test."
Aziza did as she was told, bending over with a hand on either side of his hips, closing her eyes when she wrapped her lips around the head of his shaft. He tasted so good she moaned. The Ram on the desk grabbed a handful of her hair and held it tightly, roughly, guiding her to take him deeper. More.
"Remind you of anything, sweet Aziza? It certainly brings back fond memories for me."
It did. He'd done this to her when Brandon was inside her. Done this when he had his powers, and she was the only one who could see him. The other Ram spoke, his voice low with lust.
"Are you learning now? I know how bad you really are. How perfectly deliciously bad. I know your darkest fantasies, and I can give them to you. No rules. No holding back. I want you exactly the way you are. Ah, you like that. Look how wet you are. I told you that you were a naughty girl."
The ruler came down again, and she moaned against the flesh filling her mouth. He knew. He always knew. She focused on taking more of him into her mouth, on the piercing pleasure of the blows against her skin.
"You aren't human, you know."
Ram spoke over the sounds of the ruler smacking against her thighs.
"Even humans need more than they allow themselves. They spend their lives striving to emulate werewolves, to mate, to be monogamous, and they fail again and again because their minds are closed to having more, to allowing themselves new experiences.
The ram on the desk lifted his hips against her mouth, groaning when he filled her completely.
You are fireborn. You are all of us and none of us. You need more.
She could hardly take in what he was saying, but suddenly she didn't want to play anymore, couldn't hold back what was inside her. She was on fire.
Head of the class, Miss Stewart, Ram groaned. Lesson one, a fireborn has to burn.
The audience was cheering as Aziza lifted her mouth to look down at her body. It was covered in the hot, blue-white fire that she'd been learning to control.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes,
the ram behind her countered, completely unaffected by the blaze as he continued to spank her.
You don't have to hold back here. With me?
In this classroom, you can deny what you feel for me about as well as you can deny what you are. He stopped spanking long enough to slip his fingers inside her sex and moaned at what he found.
Fireborn is justice, yes, but also power. Power is a passion that, when too long restrained, will blaze out of control, will turn to darkness. You need me. Need what I can give you. Need this and more.
He raised his voice so everyone could hear.
I think she'll also need help with this final lesson. Can I have two more volunteers?
The ram who was sitting on the desk, his erection still wet from her attention, gripped her hands to hold her still and gestured with his chin for her to look over her shoulder.
I believe we're ready to begin.
Two men used their strong arms to pull themselves up on stage, moving toward her with slow, sensual purpose. Brandon and West? The man she'd met this morning? West smiled easily and started unbuttoning his shirt.
I'm game for a grappling session. I wanted her as soon as I saw her.
After tugging his own t-shirt over his head, Brandon smiled wickedly and clapped West on the shoulder.
Be warned. She's addictive. Once you have the fireborn.
He licked his lips as though tasting something sweet.
Nothing else will do.
Brandon?
He wasn't acting like himself.
I thought you didn't want to share me.
His eyes burned with need.
I'm sorry, Aziza. I was being selfish. I know what you need now. Let me make it up to you.
She should be insulted. Shocked. Her fantasy scene had suddenly become too crowded. Four of them. West, two rams, and a Brandon who was willing to share her. All of them taking off their clothes with unmistakable intent.
What are you going to do to me?
One of the rams bit her neck.
Exactly what you want us to do. No more secrets. No more rules. No more limits. You want all of us inside you, touching you, making you burn. You need more. Admit it to yourself.
Oh, God. All of them. She'd never even put that on her mental bucket list, but now she knew how good it would be. She turned and kissed Ram's lips, reaching down for his long, thick erection.
I'm ready for my lesson.
Good girl.
No, bad girl. She was ready to be taken by all of them. Ready to lose herself to the fire. Ram lowered her to the stage floor and knelt between her spread knees, determined to be the first inside her as the others waited impatiently for their turns. The cheeks of her ass still tingled, hot against the cool stage floor as he lifted her shirt until it was bunched beneath her arms, revealing her high, sensitive breast to his gaze. Her nipples were so hard they hurt, longing for him. His face was flushed with desire and determination as he came down over her and slowly thrust inside her.
You can't deny what you feel, Aziza. the way your eyes glow like sapphires, the way your blood burns hotter than any human's could. You can't deny that you want me forever.
I know, she moaned. Oh, God, Ram, I know.
They stared at each other for one breathless moment before he rolled over onto his back and took her with him still inside her.
Time to give you everything a bad girl could dream of.
Brandon was growling as he knelt behind her, and she gasped when he spread her stinging cheeks apart and pushed his cock deep inside her ass without any warning or preparation. But this was her fantasy. It didn't feel anything but perfect. He loved this. She loved it, loved being claimed, and with Ram, with both of them inside her, it was finally right. She was going to come.
Not so fast, Ram demanded harshly. We're nowhere near done, Miss Stewart. You won't come until I let you.
But
we can stop, he warned her. If you don't obey me, your punishment will be one you don't enjoy.
She shuddered, forcing herself to focus.
Yes, sir.
Look up, Aziza.
She opened her heavy-lidded eyes and lifted her head. West was standing in front of her, completely naked. His light mocha skin covered a perfectly sculpted body that took her breath away. The tattoos and scars that covered his torso also wrapped around his thighs and his chest. His mouth-watering chest was covered with scars. He was beautiful. He smiled, his teeth brilliant and eyes bright with need.
They don't see me, Aziza Jane. Not the way you do. I had a vision too, you know. You and I, like this. I've been looking for you. Wanted you for longer than you could possibly know. And I knew I'd find you.
She frowned, trying to focus on his words through the haze, through the stretch of Ram and Brandon inside her.
You did? You have?
No talking, Ram barked. I can't hold back much longer. Take him into your mouth, Aziza. I want every part of you filled. I want you to know that I'm the one giving you this pleasure. I'm sharing you. I'm offering you everything you could want.
She obeyed, opening her mouth over West's thick cock, groaning at the taste of him on her tongue. Silk and salt. Familiar. Right. A masculine hand gripped her wrist, lifting one of her hands from Ram's chest and placing it on another hard erection. The other Ram, she knew instinctively. All of them. She had all of them. The Ram underneath her lifted his hips and set a rhythm that the other men followed. Inside her, so deep, she was inundated with sensation, her body burning inside and out. Again. Again. More. Yes. Her mind could barely function as she was filled and fucked again and again. They were all calling her name, hands caressing every inch of her, lips and teeth and tongues tracing her skin through the flames, risking the fire to touch her. It was too much. It was everything.
Come now, Aziza, Ram shouted. Come for me.
Aziza cried out softly as she felt the climax rock her body against the shower wall, and she bent her knees, sinking until she was sitting on the tile with her legs spread. She thrust her fingers inside herself as deep as they could go, stretching out the orgasm, making it last before she had to come back to reality.
What the hell was that?
She gasped, her whole body quivering. She had no idea all of that was inside her. Of course she'd had fantasies about being with Ram and Brandon at the same time. But two Rams? And West? Why had he been added to the mix? And the things he'd said made it seem more like a vision than a fantasy. It had been so real. What kind of woman fantasized about a porno-like orgy with practically every man she knew, less than 24 hours after fighting with and turning away the sexiest werewolf in London. What kind of woman had a man like Brandon and still craved more? A greedy one. A fickle one. No. A voice that wasn't hers corrected her from inside her head. A fireborn. Passion strengthens your power. Our power. Sounded like a convenient excuse to slut around. One she couldn't use, no matter how shattering and fucking fantastic it had been, no matter how hard the idea of it had made her come. This would be so much easier if it weren't her own thoughts she had to fight. You need more. Standing up shakily, she grabbed the sponge and closed her eyes, letting the water rush over her face as if she could wash her sins away.
What is it, Fireborn?
Tay's curious voice in the small space beside her almost made Aziza drop the sponge.
Are you still upset about last night's argument with the Enforcer? Or did your release bring you clarity?
Already surprised, Aziza found herself gasping for air when she finally got her first full look at the naked woman.
Tay! What the fuck? First of all, this is not a peep show. It's my shower. My release is none of your business.
I waited until you were finished, Tay offered.
How fucking polite of you, Aziza snarled back, taking a breath and scrubbing her hot face roughly with her hands.
She'd forgotten to conceal herself. She'd been too distracted to think about who could be watching.
Never sneak up on a person in the shower, okay? It's too Hitchcock. Secondly, I thought you promised to pick a look and stick with it. And before you say anything, no, you can't stay like that. And you damn sure better not let Greg see you.
Tay looked exactly like Aziza, or a negative copy of Aziza. Instead of hair the color of cocoa, Tay's platinum locks were braided over her shoulder the way Aziza's had been for her earlier session on the silks. Where Aziza's skin had the golden warmth of her father's Egyptian ancestry, Tay's still had that ethereal pallor of her species and appeared to glow from within. Where Aziza's eyes were big and blue, Tay's were the bottomless black of the near. Other than those differences, the full lips, the shape of her face, even the faded smattering of freckles above her cheekbones were identical. Then Aziza looked down. Everything. She'd copied everything. She groaned.
You're doing it again. You know that, right?
Tay bit her lip the way Aziza often did.
Are you going to call me creepy?
Yes, creepy squared. I refuse to talk to you until you change.
Tay's thick lashes lowered over her disconcertingly similar gaze. And I refuse to talk to you until you lower your voice. Stilling instantly at her words, Aziza began to focus.
I don't want anyone seeing you like this, she muttered grumpily, though now it was all for show.
Lowering her voice was Tay's new code phrase for needing privacy, true privacy.
Conceal.
She turned off the water and reached for her towel, Tay close behind her.
It's done. None of them, Jin or Nir, can see or hear us. Now, before I look at you again, I want you to go back to your last body, and then you can tell me what you're doing here when I could have sworn I warned you away.
The glow behind Aziza lengthened her shadow on the tile floor as she dried herself off. Then Tay was beside her again, dressed and looking like herself. Or at least the way Aziza wanted her to. She really was pretty. Strange and creepy, but pretty.
I apologize for my initial appearance, Fireborn. I was attempting empathy. I hope this meets with your approval since we don't have much time.
She wiggled her fingers, showing Tay her palm.
Don't we have as much time as I want us to have?
Tay shook her head, straightening her pale violet blouse awkwardly as she watched Aziza wrap her towel around her hair and walk naked across the room to open her closet door.
The Nearer monitoring the frequency and the duration of these episodes very closely, finding ways to compensate.
The frequency of
So every time we talk when we're concealed, they time it?
In a manner of speaking. Tay moved closer to Aziza. Are you still upset with your enforcer? I thought your plans to go to Underbridge this evening, despite our individual warnings, would be enough to cheer you. Gregory did warn me of your contrary nature.
I know he did. I still need to thank him for that, Aziza remarked wryly. I think you've been spying on me a little too often, Tay. And since you have, you already know what I told Greg and Penn. There's no reason for me to repeat it, and no reason for you to ask.
But she had asked. Her heart was obviously in the right place. Her heart. Aziza could still feel it, the way she had at dinner. The hesitance, the purpose, the desire for friendship.
Are you okay, Tay?
Tay stiffened and pursed her lips. What an odd question. As your Karen, it is my duty to ensure your well-being. I watch over you so diligently because, where once you had three, at present I am the sole guardian with the power to do so. Aziza pulled two outfits out of the closet, restrained but still cool, and naughty little schoolgirl. She placed them both behind her on the bed and went to the dresser, pulling out a pair of red thong underwear while she mentally debated her options.
I'm all too aware of the lack of Jin Karen in my life, Tay, and I'm working on it. What I need from you is the information you promised.
Is it the box? She whirled on Tay, feeling a sense of morbid victory.
I knew it! Damn it! I wish I'd bet someone money. You don't care about my relationship problems. You don't want to bond. All your talk about not stopping me was lip service, because here you are as soon as it arrives. You want to see what's inside and make sure I don't take his share of the sand.
You mistake me, Tay said with a quiet dignity, somehow managing to mimic a defensive expression with her usual subtle tick. I was wondering if it upset you, the idea that the box belonged to another brother who had met his end by Janir hands. If that was why you hadn't opened it yet. Aziza winced as hurt crashed over her like a wave. Damn it. Couldn't anything be black and white instead of all these bewildering shades of in-between? She didn't want to empathize with Anir, but it seemed she had no choice. She also didn't want to believe Tay's concern was genuine. It was easier to think of Anir as cold and machine-like and all the same. But she couldn't deny what she was feeling. If that's true, then I apologize, Tay. And it did. It does. I hate the idea that my brilliant and full-of-life brother only had a single box in the end. I could have sworn there were more boxes, but my cousin back home confirmed that this was the only one with his name on it at our old house. His life was bigger than that. He deserved more. He has more. Tay shifted uncomfortably. Your memories are a record of his life, Fireborn. And from my understanding, you remember all of them with perfect clarity. Tariq, Adam, Joseph, and Emma Stewart. I believe that is the near in you. As long as the record is preserved, so is the life. To the near, observation and recording is akin to creation.
Aziza crossed her arms over her bare breasts. Who are you and what have you done with my near? And did you just spout some Zen bullshit about trees falling in the forest?
I may not express myself as well as the Jin, Fireborn. But as I've told you before, I still care for you in my own way. I am not like the others of my kind. I am coming to appreciate experience as well as observation.
The instinctive tug in the vicinity of her heart made Aziza sigh. Tay was different. Not only had she changed since they first met, but she was also a part of the most secret and apparently underestimated society among the near who believed in aiding humanity, sharing knowledge. The Whispers of Jabril. They had somehow managed to keep their machinations hidden from a species of consensus-mad watchers for centuries. According to that bastard Razia, they believed Aziza was the key to
something. Razia had never gotten a chance to explain, and Tay had never offered. Aziza had realized Tay's connection to the whispers that night she'd saved Greg's life. It had been the only way to explain her knowing enough about the evil that had been tormenting her family to hide Greg when they came for Aziza. The whispers had somehow known about the Janir when no one else did. The whispers and the Janir. The Jinn and the Nir. The werewolves and that mysterious keeper wherever he was. So many secrets. So many complications. But all of them had one thing in common. The Fireborn. They believed they created her, or they wanted to kill her. Wanted her to lead, or wanted her to follow. She was a symbol to some, a threat to others, but she definitely had everyone's attention. Aziza sat on the edge of the bed to slide on her stockings. She didn't want to think about it anymore. What's so urgent, Tay? Or was this a ruse to get a sneak peek of Greg in his tight leather pants? She looked up in time to see a light blush bring color to those impossibly pale cheeks, before Tay shook her head. Don't be foolish. As to that, you should know that I do not choose body types based on bosom size. I cater to your whims, Fireborn. I strive to make you comfortable. No one else. The Nir protest a smidgen too much? Aziza winked, attaching her garters to the black lace band at her hips. But if I'm wrong, and it is for me, don't go any bigger or I'll get jealous. Since the last attack on you and our conversation that followed, I have been focused on conferring with Gregory and like-minded others, in an effort to arm you with information that could aid you in the next confrontation. Though I was occupied at the time, I do not believe your encounter with the third body was one of chance. She didn't think it was coincidence either. You were occupied? That's convenient. But you knew about the murders. Don't deny it. That's why you warned me away. You know about the connection to Underbridge. To me. Yes. Tay shook her head slightly, impatiently. And the reason I couldn't reach you would take too long to explain. Taking a calm breath, Aziza responded. So when you're occupied, is there a substitute, Karen? Tay stilled. You're speaking of the Nir recorder, the one you saw before you encountered the body? He has been assigned to you since you were born. He was not killed with your other watchers, as he remains in our world at all times to observe at a distance. Another one? At a distance? He was closer to me than you are, Tay, and he was... She shivered, thinking about his eyes. Creepier than you have ever been. He is also one of the reasons we must discontinue idle pleasantries, so that I may address the true purpose of my arrival. Tay was nervous. About this recorder person? Was he one of the ways they were keeping tabs on her power usage? How? So unless I'm concealed, he's always there? Always that close? Taking notes on everything I do and say? The Nir nodded almost impatiently. Comfort yourself with the knowledge that you are not alone in that respect. Only those in the Fireborn line have Jinn and Nir Karens. 2.3 billion humans have been assigned a recorder. Aziza sat down on the bed for a moment, stunned. How could that possibly comfort me, Tay? You're saying your people spend their lives hovering over a third of the global population? Watching us all that closely, night and day? Why? Tay lowered her gaze. I told you, the records must be preserved. Observation is existence. Aziza knew there was more to it than that. She felt it. But she was also getting the feeling Tay was on the verge of her version of a panic attack. No more idle pleasantries, then. If Anir could sigh in relief, Tay did. Despite my preoccupation, I heard of your ultimatum. That is why I am here. Through sources that cannot be questioned, a human male has been brought to my attention. One who, unlike the Enforcer's archivist,
holds no loyalties. It is my understanding he has in his possession many of the answers you seek, in old journals and texts, more factual than your mythology books and containing more clarity than I was able to pass on to Gregory Prophet when I
used him as a human loophole and zapped him with enough energy to short-circuit the city?
Aziza interrupted helpfully, still reeling a bit from the recorder revelation. Tay's lips tighten minutely in response. I've been told the man I speak of is untouched by Nir or Jin. I have no knowledge of how he has been able to hide himself for so long. They say his skin is not marked as a sandkeeper's would be. He is a human of no particular consequence, with no lineage that would grant him such skills at evasion. The Nir find no consensus in allowing a human outsider to hold that kind of information. They would not entrust its safety to such fragile hands. Aziza stopped and turned to face the Nir, adrenaline rushing through her veins.
Tay, did you get me a present? It's not even my birthday yet.
A human archivist with no loyalties, one who could stay off the Nir radar, journals and texts that weren't daydreaming and rambling guesswork. Books.
Tell me where he is, and I think I might truly switch sides to Team Tay. Does he know about you? About me?
Does he know how to find the bastards who killed my family? Tay hesitated. My source doesn't know, and as a result of his protection, not even I have been able to locate him.
Well, did your source say anything about where he is? How I could meet him?
They believe he is somewhere in London. We are... Tay tilted her head. Greg is coming. You should put on your robe.
Aziza reached in exasperation for the silk kimono laying across her bed.
You're such a prude.
Greg opened the door without knocking.
Who's a prude? Oh, Tay. Wow, you look great today.
Thank you, Gregory.
Oh, dear Lord, the Nir was sort of blushing again. And though she would probably deny it, she was checking out Greg's leather pants and faded skull t-shirt, the one that was tight enough around his arms to showcase his hard, wan biceps.
You look more comfortable than the Fireborn usually does for these excursions.
Greg looked down at himself and laughed.
Men don't have to wear corsets and stockings. I guess women don't either, but you know our girl. When you hang out with Aziza Jane, you have to pack for any and every occasion, including a fetish club. At least I don't have to wear rubber to this one.
Tay was fascinated. If she visualized Greg in rubber, would her Vulcan head explode?
Aziza sighed and snapped her fingers.
Tay, the man with the books? Somewhere in London isn't specific enough. What are you going to do to find him? What good is he if we can't find him?
You will know the moment I am informed of his location. Be ready.
Tay glanced at Greg again. Since we are speaking of books, did you read yours again?
You mean the one on the buried treasures in the desert? Greg nodded. You know me well, Tay. I've read through it more than a few times. Hasn't given me any answers yet. But it does make me long for an adventure. Maybe after Aziza stops the Janir and saves our small corner of the world again, we could all take a trip together and see what we can dig up.
A trip? Tay clenched her hands together. Perhaps, after. Fireborn, I'm sorry to have disturbed you in the shower. I will be back soon.
She was gone before Aziza could stop her.
Damn it, Greg!
What did I do? And did she say, in the shower? What happened? Would I blush?
Stop being such a guy.
She threw up her hands in frustration.
You made her all warm and tingly at a very inconvenient time.
Greg crossed his arms, fighting off a smile.
I can't help who I make warm and tingly, Aziza Jane. We all have our crosses to bear. Pin has learned to live with it. Tay can too.
Her aunt's voice floated in from the living room.
I heard that, you big, sexy American. It's a good thing Hillary isn't the jealous sort.
She poked her head of blonde curls into the room. Wait a tick. She is the jealous sort, though not of men.